Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Jeremy White.
I think everybody knows someone does this, or
I think I know what you're about to say. And
wears shorts every single day, no matter what.
Yes.
And Joe DiBiase.
Everybody knows someone that does this. They wear shorts 365.
Hypothermia? We're like hypospermia.
Listen, if none of my friends are going to do it, I'm going to be the guy that wears shorts all the time.
I don't fear the cold. The cold fears me.
All situations, except like weddings. You know, at that point, lean into it.
He's got a pair of shorts.
You get to the wedding, the bride. What's going on with your buddy there? Oh, he's a shorts every day guy.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on Western New York Sports Giant, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Listen, I'm in shorts today. It's cold.
I saw the first number on my weather app when I wake up every morning. Today, 4.
I was going to say, like, I saw 51, so maybe 49.
I think I had a 49, yeah.
Definitely chilly. A chilly morning.
I do think, though, my location was set to the last place that I golfed, which is not maybe 100% accurate. Probably close to accurate, though.
Colder there,
yeah. That ends up happening to me a lot. Wherever the last place I was is usually what's in the weather app, but then I'll look and think, that's 20 minutes away. It's got to be the same.
Right.
Close enough, right?
Well, it's a little on the chilly side. It's still going to be a high of 71 today.
But, really?
Yep.
See, that I didn't look at, but okay.
Yep. High 71, today 72. I mean, we do dip into the 60s next week. Next week, looking at the look-ahead forecast, something I just invented right now as I look at my phone, 40s to 60s, pretty much the whole week.
In.
Whereas this week, we're still 50s, 70s. It's 40s, 60s next week. So I think falls... chill, brisk temps, those might arrive tomorrow.
Yeah.
And into the weekend.
We don't have, you know what stinks? We don't have a Bills home game for...
a long time.
I guess the Titans on October 20th, but
still,
that's almost 3 weeks away. Like, I hope the weather is still doing that by then. Because this fall weather, I mean, that's what you want.
Yeah.
For the home games.
It's a long way away.
How many December home games? 3 December home games
again
this
year? With that?
Yeah. Yep. Only one, no, 2 Novembers. Okay.
We should be getting 3 October home games every year.
Yes.
That's the money spot.
I agree. That one October home game, the fewest by any month. There's 2 in September, 1 in October, 2 in November, 2 in November, 3 in December.
Yep. All right. Yikes. Hey, coming up today on the show, we've got plenty to get to. We'll check in with Sal. We'll get to Scott Pianowski, some fantasy chatter as well. It's Thursday, so Thursday Night Football. Bucks and Falcons tonight.
Bucks and Falcons. All right. Is Bijan going to be okay?
I don't know.
He's hurt, right?
He has a hamstring injury. As a Bijan Robinson multiple league fantasy owner / investor, I did not know he had a screen pass touchdown that he broke and made some pretty sweet moves on, called back for a holding penalty. One of those ones where if the world had seen it, you'd be like, oh, yeah, Bijan Robinson's amazing. No, it didn't count.
Meanwhile, Kyle Pitts maybe stinks.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not even anymore, oh, he doesn't get the ball, what's wrong, why won't they throw it to Kyle Pitts? Like, no, he might just be bad.
He doesn't run hard. There were quotes in training camp. It's funny, there are quotes in training camp from Kirk Cousins about Pitts, how he wants to push him to run harder. And that's fast for a tight end, but that's not fast enough for you. You're faster. Run faster.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a bunch of video of his last game where he is just jogging through the entire... He's got a route, he jogs.
Yeah.
So it's troublesome there.
That's a problem. I mean, that's you got to trade him, I think.
I don't know what you do.
I mean, that's...
You know what you hope it is? You hope it's Vernon Davis part 2. Vernon Davis was a very high draft pick tight end, and he was the guy that Mike Singletary, one of the famous rant, can't win with him.
Oh, yeah, that's
right. And then that guy and Vernon Davis ended up being just fine once they unlocked him. So
can't coach him,
can't
play him, can't win with him, can't do it, right?
Someone else could, all those things.
I mean, that pick, looking back, looks
horrible. Eighth overall?
Fourth.
Fourth overall.
Fourth overall for a tight end. And if he's not a unicorn, you look like a clown show, I think, if you're picking a tight end fourth overall.
Well, isn't there a conversation to be had that the idea of the matchup nightmare tight end is something everybody really wants but isn't real? How many are there?
It's real, but it's just way more rare, right?
Okay, give me the tight ends in the league that rate the way that guys like, shocker, this will be a conversation about receivers, Jefferson, Neighbors, Tyreek Hill's dominance in this league. How many receivers, if I went to...
Terry McLaurin's look good this year. There's 40 of them, right?
Number one. Why do number one receivers make $30 million and number one tight ends make 18? Answer, because number one receivers put up way bigger numbers.
Yeah.
There are also more of them that might be worthy of the top spot. In the tight end discussion, for the longest time, it was Kelce and Andrews. Mm-hmm. And then who? Oh, look, Trey McBride looks like he's it. And how's he doing in year two? Okay.
Right, because receiver, I mean, I could go so far. I mean, Metcalf and Drake London, Nico Collins, Neighbors. You mentioned, like, A.J. Brown. Everybody, like almost everybody, has got like one. Some teams have two, right? Michael Pittman, even. Just like you go, like, that's like down into like the 40s.
Right. And if I get
on
to
the list I'm looking at.
If I get to the Michael Pittman of tight ends.
Yeah, what am
I
at?
Is that like Dawson Knox? At the 40th best? Who is that?
It's him. It's Hayden Hurst. I'm just looking at fantasy rankings, but it's the best way I thought to do it. Daniel Bellinger, Will Disley, Noah Gray. Like, these are players that like sometimes don't have a catch for a month.
Yeah.
Right?
The league.
Yeah, tight end. Like, I mean, where would you put the cutoff? Like, is it four guys right now? It's Laporta. Well,
he's not having a huge year. He's having regression.
All right. Well, Kelce, when he's at his best, still.
For the longest time, it was Andrews.
McBride? Kittle?
It's
Kittle.
Kittle's amazing. But Kittle's the traditional tight end. If you make this about the traditional tight end versus the Kyle Pitts idea, the Kyle Pitts idea, now what is he? He's just an okay wide receiver. Yeah. He's not a traditional tight end. He was supposed to be matchup nightmare. You are in so much trouble. And he had 1,000 yards one time. And after that, we always thought it was his coordinator. We thought it was the quarterback. And it's just, no, actually turns out that dream of that unicorn tight end.
Yeah.
There's
not many in the league.
Just a slower receiver.
This has been part of, we'll talk about this with Scott Pianowski, like, again, like we've talked about already with him, but how there's no tight ends in the league that are thriving right now. I don't know if that has anything to do with the different direction the teams are taking, right? ADOT coming way down and whatnot. But, like, there is – anyone that plays fantasy football knows this. Like, who is happy with their tight end right now that they drafted? No, like, nobody. You've got
– Dallas Goedert had a big week.
And Dallas Goedert's probably only thriving because both of their number one and number two receivers got injured. And he's just, like, the only man left. So he's getting all the balls. But, yeah, he counts. But, like, Laporta, you're disappointed. Kelce, you're disappointed. Mark Andrews, I mean, you might just think that is completely over, right?
Yep.
Trey McBride, I guess you feel okay. He's had an injury. And then Kittle, okay. Pitts, you feel horrible. Kincaid, you feel like,
you feel like he's definitely good.
But
production, you know, it just does not match the receivers that are good.
You know who you might feel the best about? There's, like, Brock Bowers looks amazing for the Raiders.
That's right.
But, man, I'm on one hand. I'm counting on one hand the number of tight ends where you would go into a week, the Bills or any team could go in to play a team next week, and we would be discussing going into the game like, oh, man, you got to watch out for that tight end. Like, matchup nightmare. You got to pay attention to him. Who are those guys? Are there three of them? Whereas, like you said, receiver, I mean, I can name 50. Probably. I don't know what that means, though, to context for what the league is doing or the position in general. Pitts, though, might be the poster child for, like, the letdown because he is He was sold as this is a once-in-a-generation tight end. And he is not even good. He's just not even good. It's not even like he's a, oh, he's pretty good. He's not once-in-a-generation, but he's one of the five best. No, he's just, he might be terrible. Or, like you said, he maybe just doesn't try.
Right. Fourth overall. Man.
Who did they pick him over? Who was their quarterback when they did that? Was it Matt Ryan?
Oh, yes, I believe so.
Okay.
And then it became Mariota after that, and then...
And now they're at Kirk Cousins, and they might have been drafted a guy.
Might have been some Taylor Heineke-ing in there, ooh, and also some Desmond Ritter-ing.
Oh, do you know who the next pick was?
The next pick was...
Really, really, in theory, what I should really just give you is... Because I went to look at this, like, oh, what quarterback did they pass on? And it went quarterback 1, 2, 3. It went Lawrence, Wilson, Lance. So Pitts was the first non-quarterback picked in that draft. And the list of wide receivers that went after him, including mostly the receiver that went one pick later.
Fifth overall. The last receiver to go fifth.
One pick after Jamar Chase. Pitts was Jamar Chase. And just never do that again.
Right.
Right. Anyone in the league should look at that and say, I should never do that again. I've got an amazing elite receiver prospect and a once in a generation tight end prospect. You just never take the tight end.
Even if Pitts were a good tight end, what are the chances he's as productive as important as Chase?
Well, like, what would he? That's the bar is set so different because what would Pitts have to do to meet the qualification of you went before Jamar Chase? But shouldn't it be you do the same thing? Like, you would put up the same numbers?
Well,
but nobody expects that from tight end.
No, that's right. It's a different job, but nobody expects that from tight ends, except for the fact that some of these new tight ends, like Evan Engram's one of these guys, right? It's when the Bills drafted Kincaid, it was think of him like a wide receiver, and one of the points we would make a lot is there's a lot of tight ends that now play that role. Think of them like a wide receiver. That's Engram, that's Kyle Pitts, that's Kincaid. Jimmy Graham was this. Like, Jimmy Graham used to be a monster.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an observation on the position. It's not to say the Bills made a mistake with Kincaid, but those four receivers that went right before him, three of the four have put up bigger numbers. Only Quentin Johnston has put up less, right? JSN has more. Does he have more? Maybe. Let's check this. Zay Flowers, JSN, and Jordan Addison.
Yeah, right now, ahead of Kincaid. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There are 9 players from that draft class that have more receiving yards than Kincaid. Tank Dell has more. He was a third-round pick, though. Smith and Jigba, Josh Downs, Zay Flowers, Jordan Addison, Sam Laporta, Jaden Reed, Rashi Rice, and Puka Nacua.
There's some darn good pass catchers in that draft.
Yeah.
So it just kind of, again, like, anytime you make this point, I'm not mad at Kincaid himself. I have to ask what the returns are in the position when you're a non-traditional tight end. Like, the Gronks and the Kelseys, I mean, Kelsey does this. Kelsey's on the field to put a hand in the dirt and block. But the Gronks and the Kittles, especially, those guys were the do-it-all, you won't know what we're going to run. And a lot of these pass-catching tight ends, I don't think teams are as afraid of them. Maybe it is the too high shell and clamping down on explosive plays, because as they keep everything in front of them, I feel like macro of it, Joe, is a tight end working like it's in the red zone all the time now. Like, everybody is in a smaller box now because defenses are just keeping everything in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's the story on Kyle Pitts.
Kyle Pitts. He's going to go for 120 tonight now.
Yes. Let's hope. Not anticipate bringing up Kyle Pitts. Davante Adams, I did anticipate bringing up. Okay, so Albert Breer. You know, I realized something funny about the Bills and how we talk about the Bills when I read Albert Breer's piece. Albert Breer said, not a piece, but a couple of tweets, that the Bills have inquired.
Yes. He said, I'd put the Bills in the same category as the Saints, and that the cap implications would be tough to overcome in getting a deal done.
Right. So the roadblock would be the cap. But the Bills have inquired.
Mm-hmm.
I guess we have to ask ourselves a couple different questions. Do we believe that the Bills inquired? Is it far-fetched? They have a room of receivers that certainly from the outside looks like it could use someone like Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm.
Field Yates' tweet right away was, the Bills unquestionably have a need at receiver. I mean, whether you or I think so, people on the outside, wouldn't they look at the Bills just the same way we look at the Chiefs and say they need a receiver? People would look at the Bills and say they need help at receiver. So, all right, from the outside, it looks like it would make sense that the Bills would inquire. One thing about Brandon Bean, he's really good. He's good at this stuff, this PR stuff especially. Because if he gets asked, we've got it on tape before. I mean, he said it before. What does he say when someone asks him, there were reports that you expressed interest in so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
What does he say? Yeah, well, you know, a lot of times one of our guys talked to one of their people and, you know, it never really got to the point where we're having a conversation about a trade. He's able to...
And then he'll make a comment about how we'll always look into something that we think can make the team better.
Yes. Yeah. So people, when they hear a report like that from Albert Breer, brush it aside as, well, that doesn't mean they're interested. That just means that they did their due diligence.
Uh-huh.
Did they do the same due diligence on, I don't know, Aaron Rodgers? When Rodgers...
No. No, they didn't.
Of course not.
Right.
Because they weren't interested. The point is, we've kind of accepted this idea that, oh, they're just going to find out about everybody. That doesn't mean that they're interested. To which I would say, why did we just accept that explanation that, oh, they just call on everybody, even players that they're not interested in?
Yeah.
So, if you are to believe Albert Breer, then the Bills have inquired. And the Bills have looked into what this would mean, if it could be done, what it would cost.
It at least graduates above where, didn't we immediately find out, like, the Chiefs is not happening?
Yes. The Chiefs is not happening.
It's not happening with the Chiefs.
My guess is that comes from the Raiders. He will not be going to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
It's the Jets. He wants to play for the Jets or the Saints.
His buddies.
But is open to other teams.
Right.
And ready for this? Spin zone. Mac Hollins, recruiter. Let's go. Did they cross over, though?
Maybe for a year?
I think they might have crossed over for a year.
I think they crossed over for a year because Mac Hollins was a
recruiter.
I think he was the other starter on that team.
When he had 90 targets.
Although, wouldn't it be strange to be recruiting somebody who's probably replacing you?
Everybody eats, Joe. That means you invite new people to the table, too.
Uh-huh.
Let's let this guy eat.
But you're not eating anymore. You're giving them your dinner, right? You're sitting at the table with everybody, and someone just showed up, and you're like, you know what? I'm not even hungry. Here, you know what? Here, sit down at my seat. I only nibbled on it. You can finish. Devontae.
This is like Thanksgiving. Everybody's welcome in here. Come on. We've got more than enough food to go around.
They had one season in 2022.
There you go. Recruiter.
All right.
Matt Collins, together. Recruiter. So, okay, there's the part of it where Albert Breer reports the Bills have inquired about Devontae Adams. And then he also said, it's becoming pretty clear that the belief is Adams wants to orchestrate a trade to the Jets.
Yeah.
So, you know, if we're trying to piece this together, who wants me to know that? Who wants me to know the Bills and the Saints and the Steelers are also mentioned.
Steelers are mentioned.
Have inquired. Who wants you to know that? Probably Devontae Adams' camp. Or the Raiders camp, as they try to drive up the price, right? Hey, the Jets, we can get the Jets on this deal. By the way, Jets, the Bills and Steelers have also inquired. Okay, so you could just be negotiating publicly, playing the market, trying to get them to be a little bit afraid. You could.
They could be just doing the game of, hey, Jets, you're not automatically getting him just because you want him. Like, we are going to take...
And because he wants to go to you, right?
And because he wants to go to you. Like, we are going to... You gotta make the bid. You're not getting him for a sixth-round pick just because he wants to go there, because we've got six other teams here that are calling.
Yeah.
So that's probably right.
So on the who wants me to know game that I like to play. All right, so maybe it's the Raiders feeding everyone the information that these other teams have reached out, like the Bills and the Steelers. The Bills get mentioned because it's believable. And the Steelers also, believable. They have George Pickens and not a lot else going on at receiver.
Mm-hmm.
Then the report that there's wide belief that Adams is trying to orchestrate a trade to the Jets. Who does that come from? Does that come from the Bills and Steelers and Saints who read the reports and say, like, I think what they're trying to do is just really force the Jets' hand here? So, you know, you have to decide if you believe that the Bills expressed interest, which...
I would believe they called.
Calling is expressing interest.
Then, because otherwise, this is a lie.
Can we agree to that, everybody?
Yeah.
Calling is expressing interest.
I agree.
You don't look up the price of an item you're not going to consider buying.
Right.
You don't go to the store unless you're considering something.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to entertain that if they called, it doesn't mean they're interested. It doesn't make sense.
Right. I might scoff at like the price, right? Like I might look up a new golf bag. This looks nice. Let me search how much that is. Ooh, no, that's too expensive. And then you close it. Bam. Is that I kind of expressed interest. I just might no longer be interested. And that's where there's the unknown of it. There was a tweet, Anthony Cover One tweeted out that Bean made a comment last year about stuff like this and how they reportedly had been interested in J.J. Watt. And he said, like, yeah, we called and we did have discussions about it, but it didn't get very far. Like,
that means you're interested.
It just still means you're interested. It just doesn't mean that from what we know, they're interested right now.
Right.
At this very moment.
I've got a tweet here from T who writes in, and this is part of my point about what you want to believe. Writes in, Bills trades that are real don't get leaked. That's one way to say it if you just believe everything the Bills say. The other way to say it is a number of potential trades haven't been completed. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Were they interested in Beckham? Yes. He came to town. He visited. He went to Josh Allen's house.
Yeah.
It didn't get completed.
Is that true? There's no trade they've made that we like knew about before?
I don't think that's probably true at all. I mean, leaked. Was the Rasul Douglas trade just bang out of nowhere? Did someone leak that along the way? There were reports they were after Jalen Johnson with the Bears. Maybe they were and landed on Rasul Douglas. So the idea that if it gets leaked, it's not real, that's not accurate. You don't know that. All that means is that it didn't get done. That doesn't mean they weren't interested. It's the same thing with any trade rumor. The NHL deadline, like, oh, five teams are talking about Mackenzie Weegar. He only gets traded to one. That doesn't mean the other four were not interested or were not real. And it's just like the draft. Teams don't like to know that their plan didn't work. They don't like you to know anything about what they want to do. So if they called, they are interested. The question is, do you believe that they called?
Because I believe they called.
Okay.
If they didn't call, then the report is complete. Someone's lying. And I'm not getting to that point. Because then you're just making stuff up. Then I could just say any team. The Bills would be more likely to come out and squash it, right? And if you're the team trying to get, you know, a bidding war going, it doesn't look good on you if 45 minutes after you tell Albert Breer, hey, the Bills inquired, and then the Bills see it and go, wait a minute. Hey, guys, did anybody call the Raiders? No, they're lying through their teeth? Okay, then we're going to put it out there that no, we didn't call.
Well,
and if you're the Raiders, that doesn't serve you in any way.
The reality, the reality is, it's not to say that people are outright lying, but this is a competitive business. There are smoke screens. If the Bills don't think they can get him, they could come out and say, we didn't inquire, even though they did. This is the same thing as, this is guy number one guy on our board. We can't believe he was there. Okay, sure he is. We don't see your draft board. The lesson is, for me, you don't have to take everything they say as true. Especially if, in this case, you don't have to take the report as true. Could be coming from the agent. Could be coming from Davante Adams' agent who's trying to help him get to the place he wants to go.
I believe they called, though.
And that they're interested. I don't believe you can separate the two. I think separating the two doesn't make any sense.
They would have called, and then I don't know I don't know if they were told it's Jets or Saints.
Okay.
You know, like, I don't know if they were told by the Raiders, hey, we're not eating any money. Or the Bills could have said, we'll do it if you're willing to eat $3 million, or we'll do it if you're willing to come down to a third round pick, or whatever. And the Raiders say no, and the Bills are like, all right, good talk.
That's all interest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean they're interested right now.
No, that means they're interested, but they're not going to pay. Like, there's a similar quote. So, you remember the sidelines of the Senior Bowl when Joe Shane and Brandon Bean were there and a couple GMs were there?
Uh-huh.
And someone was joking about the sixth pick. And I think Shane said, Bean, you want number six? And he said, what'd he say? I can't afford it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean he doesn't want it. Means he's making a decision. I can't afford it. The sixth pick ended up being Malik Nabers, by the way. Wonder if looking.
Oh, why'd you just do that to me?
If looking
Holy
back.
Cow.
Was he sixth or was he?
I think he was sixth.
Yeah.
Damn, jeez.
Because it's the Giants. You want that pick? Here's Joe Shane joking about it. You want that pick? I can't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ask me if I want a $2 million boat. I can't afford it. Am I interested? Yeah. But I can't afford it.
Is that really interest, though? Like, if I call about a used car and, like, I'd be willing to pay $4,000. Well, it costs $20,000. Okay, well, you're not really interested then.
Well, you are interested in a car.
But for four grand, you're not actually interested. You're interested in getting it at a fifth of the cost.
Well, in the case of Devontae Adams, you're calling. Come on. You know.
No, right. This is where I would believe they're actually interested, because I would want to guess that they would know. They would know in the ballpark what it's going to cost on the cap, what it's going to cost for draft capital, which is why you're picking up the phone in the first place. Which is why I think they're actually interested.
Right.
I wouldn't bet on them getting it done, though, because...
No, I don't think it'll happen either.
I think he's going to want to go... He's going to go get to play for one of his buddies. Derek Carr or Aaron Rodgers.
803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Is it Adams' watch? Are we going to do one of those? Beckham watch?
I think
Hopkins
so.
Hopkins watch?
I think this is an Adams watch.
He's
getting traded.
Yeah, but it might happen in like a month. I don't know if I'm ready to commit
to a
full watch. You think it's going to happen soon? What's the Raiders' rush? What do they care? Unless they're getting actual players to help them now.
Yeah. Well, other teams would be in a rush. If you're the Jets or you're the Saints, don't you want him in the building as quickly as possible?
Probably.
You want him playing as many games for you. You want him to ramp up as quickly as possible, right? And also, how far away even is the deadline? I guess it's 3 weeks,
I think it's
right?
Halloween.
Halloween. Okay, so... I guess they really could slow play it, but if I'm in the other team, I think I want to do this as quickly as possible.
803-0550. Do you believe the Bills are interested? You know, there's a report out there that they have inquired. We'll see what's next. 803-0550, our phone number. Happy Thursday, Jeremy and Joe. Sal coming up later today. Scott Pianowski of Yahoo Sports. Have a couple fun games to play. I've got a Let's Get Stupid. It's a Sabres Let's Get Stupid that I think you're going to love. You are going to love.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah. So we'll get to all those things. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm sitting here, it's like, it's not the most unusual thing. I think this thing happens from time to time, and, you know, I got a lot of love for him. I still do. The things that he did for me in my career and the things that he did in the Buffalo Bill uniform won't be forgotten anytime soon, especially from me. So that's how I look at it. At the same time, going into year 7, I understand the business and the aspect of what this league is, and again, I'm just trying to focus on what we got going in this building.
Josh Allen ahead of the reunion with Jerry Hughes. No. The reunion with...
Robert Woods.
No, he didn't know. The reunion with... There was one other player, wasn't there?
Just one other former Bill?
Tim Settle. Josh Allen on the reunion with Tim Settle.
Is there... Yeah, there's... That's four former Bills on one team. I wonder if that's the most in the league.
I mean, the Dolphins have a handful.
They have Poyer. Who else they have?
They also... Jeez, now you're going to make me pull the Dolphins
roster. Jaguars have two. I know that off the top of my head. Obviously, Gabe Davis and Mitch Morse. And Ronald Darby, I think. So maybe the Jaguars would be close, but... Yeah, you got a bunch of them.
Don't the Dolphins have Saran Neal also?
They do have Saran Neal.
That's two.
All right, there you go. There's a couple. All right, I bet Texans lead the way.
With four?
Nick Broeker.
How about the Jaguars?
Also is their backup right guard. I believe he was a draft pick of the Bills.
Jaguars have Mitch Morse, Gabe Davis.
Yep. Don't the Texans also have Case Keenum?
Yeah, that might be right.
They just have a million then. That's like six. So,
Texans week.
They
two,
do have a case
two game. 3-1 teams.
Yeah, and the other, I mean, right now, how many Super Bowl contenders does it feel like there are in the AFC? Four? And they're one of them, right?
Yeah.
Their numbers are not great. Like, they're not scoring a lot compared to their opponents, especially. Like, they're winning close games so far, but the quarterback is so talented. I don't know. I still like to think they're on that tier.
Yeah. Well, on that notion about the 3-1 teams, I haven't listened to it yet. I just saw the headline. Bill Barnwell, the ESPN podcast, Bill Barnwell.
Yep. ESPN. Yeah, ESPN.
The heading, the subject for his podcast today is, can the AFC bounce back? That right now it looks like, like, look at all the good teams in the AFC. They've all taken some pretty serious lumps. And the NFC, I don't know if it's any different, but like the Chiefs are 4-0, and we all think, ooh, I don't know, that doesn't look very pretty. Mm-hmm. The Bills just took their worst loss in 4 years. The Ravens had a slow start, blew a 10-point lead to the Raiders. They lost to the the Chiefs.
Like,
also,
nobody looks flawless at all.
For a conference that's supposed to look amazing, the Texans are 3-1 and really haven't looked that impressive. Their pass defense is so.
They're actually getting out. They have a negative point differential. They're minus 15 on the season.
They got blown out by Minnesota and they won their other games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's interesting about the AFC. It does look, I don't know, does it look wide open? Who's the team no one's talking about in the AFC that will get right and make a push?
Ooh,
which means it can't be Baltimore, Kansas City, Buffalo, Houston. The next team.
Could it be Cincinnati?
I guess it could be.
I mean, it's not over for them. And they have, you know, they have the Giants in 2 weeks. They have the Raiders 3 weeks after that. I mean, I guess their schedule actually doesn't look that easy looking at it. But so far, I mean, they've only proven they could beat the Carolina Panthers. So, the Bengals, because of Burrow and Chase and Higgins, but, like, I don't know. Are they the same that they were 2 years ago? Should I just assume that's going to get right? That, oh, this is what the Bengals do. You know, they start slow, and they'll figure it out because that's how good the quarterback is, and that's how good the offense is, and they'll figure it out. Something about them just makes me not want to believe they're automatic. They're automatic to get there. And but like the Ravens, I would have felt more confident saying that. Like, they'll get right. They'll figure it out. They'll get to the playoffs. The Bengals, I feel like I want them to be my answer, but I'm not sure about that. I'm not sure about that at all. I mean, if Tua comes back in, what, he's going to miss two more games? If they'd have to win one of them, wouldn't they, to feel like they're still alive? If you look at the Dolphins' schedule, that's really the team that has a soft middle belly of their season, where they play New England this week and then the Colts. So those are the last two games that Tua will miss, are against the Patriots and the Colts. And then if he comes back after that or a week later, Cardinals, Bills, Rams, Raiders, Patriots. Like, those are all really winnable games for Miami. But I need to see some proof that they can hang around a little bit before he comes back. Before I'm willing to believe, like, oh, they'll hang around and they'll be one of these teams in the conversation at the end. And even if they are, Bills fans are going to respect them for this.
Reporting that the Bills have inquired about Davante Adams, and reporting the Raiders are seeking a second-round pick and then plus additional compensation. The Bills have two twos.
Yes.
Their own and Minnesota's. Both appear to be late.
Yeah. Is there something that would make it weird that if you traded the exact same compensation for what you traded Diggs away to get? Is there something that would say that they wouldn't like?
Well, let me ask you this. What if this is a crazy hypothetical, it's not that crazy, but the day they traded Diggs, they had also announced, and they're bringing in Davante Adams for a year. It's a very NBA trade, by the way, right? Send out this star, bring in this star for a year.
Yeah.
Kawhi Leonard now plays for the Raptors.
Right, 1 year.
Right, just he's here for a year.
Yep.
See if we can win it, which, by the way, the Raptors did.
They did win it.
They
yeah.
did. Adams for one of those 2 seconds. That is what you got for Diggs.
Right.
Who wants to do it? Adams for a second.
I'm hesitant. That's, You might need to pay that though, right? Like I don't know. I don't know what you have to beat to get that deal done. And I don't even want to say that a second and a third should really be that different, but it for some reason like it just feels like a little further than I'd want to go is giving them a second round pick back for Davante Adams where I'm getting a second year of that contract. Maybe they work out some extension,
a void year,
right? Like, so maybe it's a 2-year experiment for him here if that were to happen. I think a second's a little rich though for that, isn't it? For a 1 or 2 year sample here.
The Texans did just pay the second round pick rental price.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking about this the other day too. So last year at the NFL trade deadline, the last couple years at the NFL trade deadline, haven't we noticed it started to be more like the NHL where mm-hmm. if you're good, you make trades. You try to bolster your roster. You clean up spots that don't look so good. Last year it was Rasul Douglas.
Right.
The year before it's Nyheim Hines, right? The Bills won. Yep. Or maybe that's 2 years ago.
2 years ago. Yeah, 2 years ago.
Who's in between? Kelvin Benjamin, Nyheim Hines, Rasul Douglas. This is a team, like others, that the trade deadline in the NFL is now active. And this idea of, well, are you going, finger quotes, all in? In the NHL, if you're a playoff team and you don't make one small move,
mm-hmm.
that's often viewed as odd. All the teams make a move. Oh, I'm going to send you a depth defenseman and a third-round pick for this guy that wins faceoffs. You know, we're going to do something because we think we have a chance, and a small advantage on the fringes might make a big difference. And I think the NFL, we should start looking the same way. The difference is a second-round pick in the NFL is considerably more valuable than a second-round pick in the NHL.
Yes.
You could deal second-round picks in the NHL for a decade and not miss them. In the NFL, that would catch up with you fast. Rosters are obviously much bigger. 803-0550. All right, so that's the Twitter poll. Albert Breer reporting the Bills have inquired about Davante Adams. Multiple reports the Raiders are seeking a second-round pick. The Bills have two of those. Adams for one of those twos. Yay or nay? What do you say? We have a Twitter poll. We'll get you the results on that. I've got a Let's Get Stupid, which maybe we'll do that next. Let's Get Stupid.
Let's Get Stupid? Yeah, Saber-related?
It is. It's a quick one.
Tomorrow, huh? One day.
One day away.
One day away from the season.
Yeah. All right. We're going to do a very quick little Let's Get Stupid that you and I think Josh will also love. All right. It's time for Let's Get Stupid. You ever watch Jeopardy and there's an audio Daily Double?
An audio Daily Double?
Yeah, like, or a video Daily Double.
I don't think...
This one's an audio Let's Get Stupid, all right?
Aren't all of the Let's Get Stupids
audio?
Well,
I mean, we are speaking, but there's an audio element. Yes, you're not wrong. Okay. We are on the radio.
Yes.
I think. All right, Let's Get Stupid. So, opening night at the arena, KeyBank Center.
A week from tonight.
They'll play two games against New Jersey in the Global Series,
mm-hmm.
and we're there opening night. I don't know if the Sabres are 2-0, or 0-2, or 1-1, or 1-0-1, or 0-1-1,
or 0-2.
we got them all covered.
Yeah,
we're getting ready. They hit the lights. Lights go down. It's time.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes the team.
Okay,
fully dark arena, spotlight. Hits where they're going to come out of the tunnel.
Uh-huh.
And the entry song for the year is...
This is not a Let's Get Stupid. This is exactly what should happen.
I knew I could get you.
Are they wearing the goat heads, though?
No.
I feel like they have to be wearing the goat heads.
No, they decide that while the goat heads and the blues will alternate, that this song will, for the rest of time, be as iconic as the saber dance was. Like, that we're coming out to this.
Yes, in 100%. Their eternal entry song for the rest of time. I'm in.
Dave, the first one in, says, this is not stupid.
This is not stupid at all.
I didn't think it was stupid either, but...
This is brilliant. This is exactly what should happen. Do they use it when they wear red and black?
I think so.
I don't know that I hear it anymore.
I think they use, like, Machine Head, too.
That's what they
use. By Bush, right? Like, that's another one of those 90s entrance songs. I mean, I all I'm saying is I want to hear this at the arena.
Yes. I'm in.
All right. Maybe not that.
It is. This is not. It's almost sad, though, that like the only way to feel good, like generally great about them is nostalgia.
Is to play the song.
Like, you just said the name Aleš Kotalík yesterday, and I smiled about the Sabres that like I haven't in like 6 years. Maybe 9 years. Or 13. How long is the drought now?
20.
Is this 13, and if they miss it, would be 14?
I don't even know.
Hurricane dude. Can they play during the game?
What's the status of the goals?
That would be Let's Get Soup. This song just play. It's a bed underneath the game. Yeah. All during the action and all throughout the whole thing.
What's the status of goal songs? Do they have to announce those by today? Are they ready?
I bet they're not doing it in Europe.
No?
I bet they're not. We're not going to get that till next week.
I mean, when the NFL goes to international games, the home team elements travel with them.
Yeah.
The Bills train horn, right? Like, you bring that stuff with you. Just saying, if we're going to get goal songs.
Oh, no Jeff Skinner this year.
No.
That's the...
He would have been a good one.
He was the king of the goal song because he would just pick the most fun song he could get his hands on.
All right. 803-0550. Checking in, tracking Davante Adams as we cruise through this Thursday morning. Chilly. So, you know, wear a quarter zip maybe. Might need pants if you don't normally wear pants, which you probably do.
Hoodie and shorts is fine today.
Yeah, that's right. It's going up to 71.
Perfect hoodie and shorts day.
Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.